Good morning. It's great to see you. I had a wonderful privilege of doing a business person's breakfast on Friday morning with about 250 people at Woodlands. And afterwards, this guy comes up to me and says, "Baie dankie, oom." You never think you're going to be at oom, eh? "Baie dankie, oom." So I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 44. Dankie, oom. Yo, gilly, man. Yes. Ministry's aged me, eh? So to this, if you don't know what to preach on or what to do next, you have to ask God what He said the last time He spoke to you. So this whole week I tried to hear God and He wasn't speaking to me, so I thought, the last time God spoke to me was when Daleen preached on Sunday from Psalm 90. So let me go back to Psalm 90 and see if God speaks to me. Okay. So it does two things. It just gives us a reminder that if we don't know what to do, just go back to the last thing God said. And when the Word of God gets opened by a woman who weighs 50, 2.1, and a man who weighs 75, not this week, that's next week, God can use anybody to open the Word of God, okay? So let's stand, if you can. If you're in a wheelchair or something, or get a knee operation, you can't, that's all right. We must stand when we read the Word of God, so let's stand and read Psalm 90 together, the whole psalm, and just read the first verse with me. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Say a prayer of Moses. The man of God. So, wat gaan gebeur vanmôre is die oom gaan praat. A lot of young people are influencing culture and influencing the media and influencing values and influencing what priorities are now because they... Instagrammers. I was at a wedding last night in the Midlands and they said, "And there's a celebrity amongst us and his name is Sean," and everybody clapped and I looked at Sean. I thought, I've never seen him in my life before. So I went up to him. I said, "Why are you famous?" He said, "For my followers on Instagram." It's like Moses didn't understand Instagram. So sometimes it's good to listen to the young people as we build the church, but sometimes good to listen to the old people. And Moses is old now. And he writes a psalm back to us. I'm going to read the whole psalm. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, say, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, I'll read it. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. 1,000 years, 3,650 days, no, that's 10 years, are like a day that has just gone by, 24 hours, or like a watch in the night. A watch in the night is 3 hours. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 years if you go to Planet Fitness. Virgin Active is not such a success rate. The only reason is because Planet Fitness here gave all of our staff free membership. So Planet Fitness it is. Praise God for Planet Fitness. Okay. Virgin Mary, Planet Fitness. Yet the span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I worked out my days. I've been alive today 18,715 days. Today. How many days have you been alive? Daleen spoke to us last week and said, number your days aright. How many days have you had? How many days have you got left? 8,715 is the amount of days I've got. According to this scripture, I've got about 9,000 left. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Say, children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Keep your minds occupied for 1 second. I'm going to read Matthew 17. It's not going up on the board. It says this. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Say, white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. You may be seated, please. So some of you would have heard this, but it's a reminder. As Daleen opened up last week, I felt we need to dwell on Psalm 90, look at it from different angles, explain the depth and the breadth of the Word of God, and learn something from an old man who's been alive for a long time. If you can just put that number 137 on the board, please. 137 is the number of funerals that Moses did every single day of his life for 40 years. So when he writes to you and says, teach us to number our days aright, he's writing actually from a deep sense of reality and pain. I've done 300 funerals. They've nearly killed me. I can remember everyone. The very first funeral I did was for a young boy called Peter. He died from suicide. He was 19 years old. I was at school with his brothers. It was in the Botanical Gardens at Durban. I can feel it like yesterday. It was nearly 30 years ago, walking down that garden, and his mum and dad saying, what could we have done? Why did we not listen to his cries? Living with unbelievable remorse, unbelievable regret. I can tell you the funerals of the drug addicts. I can tell you the funerals of the young children that I've buried who have died from sickness and illness. I can tell you the funerals I've done of people who have been murdered. I did the funeral of a young girl who was murdered by her boyfriend, drowned in the bath. And myself and Clint went and sat with her father, a big successful businessman, and his body was shaking as he was talking about his daughter. And he said, I knew my daughter should not have gone out with that man. And he was cleared. She had strangle marks on her neck. Drowned, her cause of death was drowning. And when you do those funerals, there's deep pain, there's deep tears, there's deep regret. Moses did 137 of those every day of his life for 40 years, and he writes a psalm to us and says, don't waste your time. I can tell you stories of suicide. I can tell you stories of adultery. I can tell you stories of sickness. I can tell you stories of divorce. I can tell you stories. He said, please, I'm an old guy now. Ek is 'n oom. Asseblief, will you listen to me? Please, will you listen to me? Amen? Amen. Say, Moses, a man of God. Moses. You know the amazing thing? This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Next verse. Wrong verse. Okay, turn it off. This is how it goes. Follow me. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family, say the whole family, in heaven and earth. Now you must work with me. I've driven 350 km this morning. Got up early to be here. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. So we derive our name from the Father in heaven. Everybody derives their name from the Father in heaven. In Luke chapter 6, it says this: He designated them apostles. So point number one today is, what is your designation? What is your name? What Moses was called the man of God. Moses was the guy who murdered somebody. Moses was the guy who got angry and struck the rock. And he's talking about God's anger, and times on earth are tough and sin is inside of the camp. But when he's given his name, when he's given his designation, it says Moses, the man of God. And when we read the New Testament, Jesus said to him, you'll never go into the promised land. But he believed Psalm 19. He said, it doesn't matter what you've done. I've done lots of funerals, guys. 137 a day. If you believe God in the end, on the last day of your life, if you believe God, you'll be with Jesus in the promised land. He said, standing there with his white clothes, shining bright, Moses was standing next to him. What is your designation? We've got two things. We've got a name and we've got a label, every one of us. You know the story, some of you, I broke my toe. So I went to the hospital because all the orthopedic surgeons are in this church. The brain surgeons are at Moraletta. But the orthopedic surgeons are here. So I just went into the x-ray department and I said, how's it? I'm Rory. It's like, and? I'd like an x-ray on my toe. Said, you need a doctor's letter. I said, please, can you phone one of the guys upstairs? She said, no, it doesn't work like that. You can't just phone a guy. I said, there's my mates. It's like Etienne there, and this oak there, and Hans there, and just phone them and ask them. She's like, look at me, like, no, it doesn't work like that. So I said, okay, so what do I need? She said, you need a doctor's letter. So the lady behind me said, hi, Rory, I'm a doctor in your church. Said, you want a letter? I said, it'd be great. I said, what kind of a doctor are you? And she smiled at me. I said, what do you specialize in? She said, adult ADHD. She says, I think I can help you. I said, with my toe. She said, no, with the other stuff. She said, I just want to ask you one question. Where did you sit in the classroom? I said, where do you think I sat? Of course, under the teacher's nose in the front row. Said, no, you sat at the back. Hey, I said, yeah, sorry, yeah. But ADHD is a label. My name is Rory, son of God, man of God. That's my name. That's what I derive from God. What's your name? What is your designation? If you take that word designation and you break it down, don't worry about the screen. If you take that word designation, we can break it down into many ways. Design. I am designed in a certain way. Moses was designed in a certain way to lead God's people. And he messed up and he murdered and he got crossed. But he believed God at the end, and his design, which was to lead and to give people vision, was actually fulfilled. What is your design, friend? Don't let the world label you what your design is. God has to give you your design. My design is given to me from the Father in heaven. The second thing, friends, if I take that word, the word is sign. What is your sign? What is your signature? When you take your credit card and you put it down, they bring you, when you sign, that thing has got authority. When people come into my presence, Adrian said, this was the greatest compliment. He said, Rory, when people come into your presence, they leave with hope in their hearts. I am a signature. I've been put on earth by God, like Moses was and Daleen is, that when people come into my life, I am like a signature that points them to God. I am a sign. Or I point them to depression, or I point them into bitterness, or I point them into negativity about the country. If you walk into this church or into the presence of anybody in this church, anywhere in our country, they should have a sign that points them to the Father in heaven, from whom we derive our name. Where do you get your name from, sir? We can't be labeled. Divorcee, you can't be labeled. You can't live with a label. You have to live with a name. You have to live with a name. We're in a wedding in the Midlands last night. The man who did the wedding, the daughter of the man, the bride's father, sorry, is a friend of mine. He never passed matric. He's completely dyslexic. Completely and utterly dyslexic. He can't even read the Bible. But he runs a business employing hundreds of people with a famous name brand. He is a highly successful businessman because one day he actually started to believe what God said over him, not what the education system said over him. That guy can read a balance sheet upside down. He is highly gifted. He said to all of us, I will not be able to make a speech at my daughter's wedding because I will not be able to read my notes. You know what I did this week? I flew down on Wednesday. I went and sat with him in his boardroom. He said, I'm going to record my speech. I sat with him in his boardroom. I said, my bud, you're going to stand up at your daughter's wedding day and you're going to give a speech because you're a sign that when people follow you, they will get their derivative from heaven, not from earth. He says, is that not a waste of an airplane ticket? No, it is the redesigning people's minds and futures. And he stood up yesterday, dyslexic man, and he pulled out his notes. He didn't stutter once. He read those notes. He cried. He blessed his daughter. And he got a standing ovation. Say Moses, man of God. Daleen, woman of God. Murray, man of God. Man of God, woman of God, son of God, woman of God, man of God, woman of God, woman of God, man of God, woman of God. You say, but you don't know what I've done. No, if you believe in Jesus, you'll stand next to him with his bright white shining clothes. Amen? People say to me, secondly, it says, Lord is our dwelling place. Say, the Lord is our dwelling place. They say to me, where do you live? I say, op die hoek van Witrenoster en Swartrenoster. For Pretoria Oaks, they understand. They're in the wilds. For guys from out of town, they said, where do you get those names from? I said, if you just go a little bit up, my neighbors live in Rooikiel Flap Road. I don't know what Rooikiel Flap Road is, but I think it's a fool. And daar op die einde van Rooikiel Flap is Volstruispad, net daar aan die kant. What's your address? What's your address? First thing, what's your designation? Secondly, what's your address? You see here in Pretoria, we our address is like Moikloof or Boardwalk. Our address is important. It is, eh? But Moses lived in many places. He lived, I know some of you know this, he lived in a basket. Like some of you are doing now. You haven't got an inch of room to move. You don't have a spare cent. You don't have an inch of room. You've got a one-bedroom house with two children, and you don't have an inch of room, but that's not your address. That's where you live. That's where you live. And we are so conditioned by society about where we live and what we drive, that we completely override the power of the scripture. He lived in a palace. Massive palace. But when he put his address, he didn't say the palace, he put the Lord. The Lord is my dwelling place. I think it's a big house. I met a man here. He visited us the other day. I met him at the back of the church. He said, how's it? He said, how's it? He walked out, and his friend said to me, you know how big his house is? I said, I don't know. I don't really care. But how big is it? He said, 3,100 square meters. I said, for who? He said, for him and his two children. So that's awesome. But if that's his address, he's in trouble. Because when it goes badly, I'm going to give up on God. And when it goes very well, I'm also going to give up on God. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. How many of you have had a tough time since 2008 when the economy crashed? Most people have had 11 tough years. Moses had 40. But when he gave his address, he never said the desert. He said, the Lord. Amen? Amen. What's your address? Where do you live? I had this beautiful moment on Friday morning when I went into this business breakfast. I walked in, a guy came up to me and said, hello, Rory. My name is Francois. I've been to your church a few times. He said, but there's only one sermon I ever remember. I said, that's more than most people. But anyway, I said, what is it, Francois? He said, one day you preached, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he said, I was in a very bad place, so I memorized that scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when I woke up at night, I used to preach, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, Rory, now I've got a job here, and I'm back on my feet, and I just want to say to you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's your address? Francois' address, who works in Woodlands, his address is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Exodus, what Moses learned about God, he said, God, unless your glory goes with me, nobody will know that you've sent me. Unless, what will distinguish me from everybody else on the face of the earth? He said, Lord, please send your glory with me. And God says, I will cause my glory to pass in front of you. And this is how God gave his glory. He said, the Lord, the Lord. Say, the Lord, the Lord. Lord. The Lord, the Lord. Say, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's how God gave his name to Moses. So when Moses gave his address, he said, the Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That is my address. That's where I live. So when people walk into my presence, I don't tell them I live on the corner of Vitranosta and Swatranosta. I tell them I live in the place of forgiveness and grace and slow to anger and compassion and mercy. And when I give it to them, they say, I too want to live in your house. Amen? You with me, guys? How long have I been going for? 22 minutes. How are we going, Clinto? Okay, mathematics. I know some of you know this. Mathematics. Point one. What is my designation? I am named, I'm not labeled. I am named, I'm not labeled. Labels kill me. A name inspires me, gives me power, gives me grace, gives me authority. Amen? What is your designation? Number one. Number two, what is your address? And number three, what is your priority? Let's do the math quickly. As Daleen said to us, why are you preaching it again, Rory? Because we need to put things in place, because some of you never ever went after Daleen preached and asked how many days you'd been alive. I did, 18,371, whatever it is. So how many days I've been alive. The Bible says 1,000 years is like one day. 1,000 years, 24 hours. I will live for 70 years or 80 years if I look after myself. 1,000 years is one day. 80 years, divide by 10, minus 20%, 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours or 15 minutes. A watch in the night is 3 hours. 1,000 years is 24 hours. Or a watch in the night, 80 years is 2.5 hours or 15 minutes. I have been alive. I'm 51 years old. According to this scripture, I have been alive for 9.5 minutes. I have only got 6.5 minutes left of my life. According to Moses, who did 137 funerals a day, I've got 6.5 minutes left of my life. What on earth am I going to do? I saw two brothers at their wedding yesterday. They haven't spoken for 8 years. They have not spoken for 8 years. 8 years. Only got 6.5 minutes left. They're going to live in eternity for the rest of their lives. But for 8 years, they haven't said a word to each other. I want to tell you, I've got 6.5 minutes left. I'm going to spend a lot of that time in prayer because I've realized at 51 years old, as a that prayer is more important than anything as a Christian. If I'm going to change people's lives, I have to pray. I've only got 6.5 minutes left. God, I'm going to prioritize prayer in my life every day. It is a violent, non-invasive, gentle interruption in people's lives that I'm going to keep doing every day of my life. I've prayed for that bride for about 3 years, every day of my life. And yesterday she asked me to pray at her wedding. And I never prepared because we were busy at a meeting. I got down there and I got up to pray for her. And as I started to pray, the Spirit of God hit them. They started to weep as I started to pray because I've already prayed for them 1,000 times. What are you going to do with your life? How old are you, Zander? 45. Next week. You've got 7 minutes and about 25 seconds. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Don't waste a second of your life. How old are you, Dave? 65. You got about 4 minutes left. If we're listening to an old man who's done 137 funeral days, you've got 4 minutes left. Don't waste your time. Don't waste it relationally. Don't waste your words on criticism and bitterness and negativity about Ramaphosa and Julius Malema and the DA. Don't waste your time. What year were you born in, Elmin? How old are you exactly today? Tomorrow you're 42. About 8 minutes. Seven and a half, eight. Your dad's a doctor, has taught you how to look after yourself. 7.5, 8 minutes. Moses says, number your days aright so that you may gain a heart of wisdom. 3 things and we finished. Funerals, faith, and the future. Funerals, faith, and the future. The struggles of life, sin, and a savior. Moses did many funerals, and he writes this letter. He then says, what about the everlasting God? He had seen God gracious and compassionate. And then he does an amazing thing. He says, Lord, will you bless the children? Will you bless the children? I'm old now. I've led this life. It hasn't always been easy, but you are a gracious and compassionate God, and I'm standing at the end of my life, and I'm reaching out my hand saying, will you bless the children? So last time I was in Durban, I had breakfast with a friend whose son thinks my daughter's pretty. She is pretty. I'm just not quite sure if I want his son to think that. So he says to me, do you mind if I invite a few of my buddies to breakfast? I said, no, no problem at all. So he brought a couple of his friends there. We talked about the Lord. We opened up the scriptures. And I said to the one guy, so what do you do? He said, I'm a dentist. I said, how's it going? He said, no, dentistry was quite slow, so I improved myself and I've qualified as an orthodontist. I said, that's amazing. When I went to see my friend this week, I went back to that same restaurant to meet with some other guys. And I noticed that the waitress had very bad teeth. Her teeth were standing out like this. So I was reading this psalm. And this psalm blesses the future of the people. This old man says, I'm going to spend the rest of my life blessing the future of other people. So I'm sitting reading Psalm 90 before the other guys arrived. I thought, okay, so in this, just this restaurant, how do I use my name, Rory Dyer, and the influence it has? How do I use my address, the compassionate and gracious God? And how do I use my priority to change this waitress's life? Because I love teeth. I put braces on people with bad teeth. That's what I do. So what I did when I left, I called the boss of the restaurant. I said to him, I tell you what, bud, I met an orthodontist the last time I was here. Are you prepared to go 25%? I will go 25%. The guy that I was sitting with will go 25%. And the orthodontist is going to go 25%. But this waitress who happens to come under my signature, we're going to change her future. We're going to bless her. You see, when a guy did 137 funerals every day of his life, he realizes, I've got to bless this next generation if they're going to walk into an inheritance. I want to bless them. Use everything you've got to bless people. Stop criticizing. Stop cursing. Stop moaning. Stop groaning. And take your name. Take your name. The young man who got married yesterday, his name was Joshua. He had a single mother. Her name is Jackie. And I went up to her after the wedding and I said, Jackie. She said, Rory, it was hard as a single mother. But I called him Joshua because I wanted him to take the promised land. And you know what it says in Joshua chapter 1? Be strong and courageous because the Lord will be with you and you'll take the land. And yesterday, this good-looking boy, Joshua, stood up. He's got a successful music career in London. He had a mother who spoke blessing over his future. Three questions. What's your designation? What's your address? And what's your priority? And know this, Jesus with shining clothes will always stand next to you in his wonderful name. Amen.